From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Are research scientists still using poor black families as guinea pigs? That's one question that's emerged after the Associated Press recently reported that sludge made of human and industrial waste was spread around 9 low-income homes. Scientists were trying to see if the fertilizer could protect children from lead poisoning in the soil. The federally funded research began about 7 years ago. Johns Hopkins University helped conduct the study. In a few minutes, we'll hear from a university dean who says the research was safe, but some scientists and community activists disagree. They say no one is absolutely sure that the sludge wasn't harmful to the communities it was meant to help. Joining me now is John Heilprin. He's a former environmental reporter, and he co-authored the Associated Press story. John, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So as you understand it and as you reported it, what's the basic problem with the study?
Well, at root, the problem that I see is that the material in question that they used, no one can prove that the material is safe. That's the essence of it.
Now, scientists used a fertilizer called Ecology Orgrow Compost. Now, the Kennedy Krieger Institute, a research group that was involved in the study, said it was using a so-called Class A compost, and a Class A rating means that the way that the soil was treated made it safe. What is Class A soil or fertilizer, and what does your investigation suggest about the safety regulations around that?
Well, we've been taking a look at sludge for over a year now, and EPA permits two classes of what's called sewage sludge, or biosolids is the preferred term by the industry, Class A, Class B. The Class B is more commonly used for agricultural products. The Class A, which was used for the study, is more highly treated, and in this case, it is sold at nurseries, hardware stores. As the proponents say, it's used on the White House lawn, or it has been. However, the treatment level is that it's they kill off indicator pathogens like E. coli and Salmonella. They do not kill all the pathogens, and they kill them to detectable levels, which means that there's maybe some left. That's the essence of it.
In a moment, we're going to talk with someone from Johns Hopkins University, but one of the questions that has arisen is the question of consent. You know, when you agree to be part of a study, how do you agree? Do you understand what's going on? What's your understanding of how the people who were approached, the families who were approached, were given information to make a good decision about what they did?
Well, you know, first of all, we tried to find the participants, and nobody would tell us their identities. We had to send a Freedom of Information Act request to Department of Housing and Urban Development to get some documents. The Kennedy Krieger Institute referred all questions to Hopkins. We finally got a few answers from them, but not the participants. So what we were told was that they were given brochures on the dangers of lead contamination, which is a problem in a city like Baltimore with aging housing, and that they were told that the fertilizer was a commercially grade fertilizer sold in the state of Maryland, and that there wasn't any danger to it.
Now, you also spoke with a local environmental activist, Glenn Ross, from East Baltimore, and he had some theories about why the researchers chose this neighborhood for the study. What was his take as you talked to him?
Well, he didn't exactly know. He was actually trying to help us identify the participants, and he drove us around some of the neighborhoods. But, you know, he took us on one of his, quote, toxic tours of Baltimore and showed us various neighborhoods. And in this particular study, he was talking about how, what his quote was that if you want to do something very questionable, you would do it in a neighborhood that's not going to be there in a few years. And he was referring to some of the neighborhoods that are destined for demolition. I think his meaning is that perhaps the participants may no longer be able to be easily found. Certainly, we didn't find any medical follow-up.
When you think about the fact that now the NAACP is calling for an investigation, what is the path that reporters like you, city officials, activist groups need to follow to explore this to the fullest?
Well, what we are interested in, really, and we're continuing to report, is the overall national sludge policy. What we found interesting about this study is that you have researchers backed by government funding operating on the assumption that sludge is good enough to eat. And what we found was that this was indicative, I guess you could say, of a broader policy aimed at promoting and finding broader uses of sewage sludge. There are these different classes, and I understand the arguments back and forth on Class B, Class A, et cetera, but, you know, at root, all of this material that we're talking about in this particular case comes from a wastewater treatment plant in Baltimore. Like every other city, it takes in tens of thousands of organic pollutants, heavy metals, pathogens, PCBs, et cetera. It sends them through processes. This fertilizer we're talking about is a more highly treated form. However, at root, nobody can say on any given day what exactly is in this stuff.
Well, John, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Joining me now is Dr. Michael Clagg. He's Dean of the Bloomberg School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins University. Dean Clagg, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
So the principal investigator in the Baltimore soil study had a joint appointment with the Bloomberg School and the Kennedy Krieger Institute in Baltimore. You've agreed to speak with us given that connection to your school. So can you tell me first about why the researchers chose the communities that they did?
Certainly. Well, when this study was done, Baltimore was in an epidemic of lead poisoning. And in the area where this study was done, levels of elevated blood levels in children were 35 to 40 times higher than the national average. So Kennedy Krieger Institute, which treats kids with developmental issues, was seeing about 1,000 kids a year with lead poisoning. Kennedy Krieger Institute was looking at how to prevent this epidemic in the areas that were most affected.
I happen to be from Baltimore. I know there's a tremendous amount of poverty and, you know, the effects of that, including health effects. There's also been a history of bad blood at times between residents of the poorer neighborhoods, which tend to be black, not universally so, but tend to be, and the university, which has wealth and the need for test subjects, frankly. Did you take into account that you might have to be very clear about your mission, your goal, your visions, and your support from the community as you went into a project like this?
Certainly, and you're right. You know, there is a long history of why vulnerable populations might be suspicious of medical research in this country. And so I want to say that, you know, medicine in general, there have been transgressions and there are things that have not been done well, but this study wasn't one of those. Community representatives were involved in a meaningful way in planning of the project and in oversight of the project when it occurred and in overseeing the publication of the results. And then the informed consent process was done by people from the community, by employees who worked in the study but who were from the community.
I want to read you something from a fact sheet that was released by the Kennedy Krieger Institute regarding the study. And it says, the Maryland Department of the Environment and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency regulations require testing of the stabilized compost to ensure it meets quality parameters such as pathogen control, to ensure disease-causing organisms are at a safe level, and heavy metals contained in the compost are below maximum allowable concentrations.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to focus in on one word, which is safe. According to the AP reporter's story, the EPA Inspector General and the National Academy of Sciences have done studies that conclude the following, that the EPA's rules concerning sludge testing are inadequate, and there hasn't been enough conclusive research done to prove that the sludge is not unsafe. So do you feel that although there is at least this basic level of safety that's been met, that really the research supports human testing of these materials in people's backyards?
Let's be clear. The controversy you're referring to refers to sludge, the type B biosolids. This is type A. So this is compost that you can buy at any garden store. The state environmental regulations here are much stricter than the EPA, and this product was far below those standards. So I think one of the issues was there was, with the initial report, is there was a confusion between the type A biosolids and the type B. So the anecdotal reports which have been put out about harm have related to the type B.
Why then do you think this has caused such an uproar? What is it in your mind as this has unfolded that...
Well, I think it was inaccurately portrayed in the press. It was portrayed as putting toxic sludge on the lawns of poor people to experiment on them. And it's just not true. We did not go out and look for homes where there were children and measure, the exposure of children and their blood levels. It wasn't that. It was a technique to amend soil that had been used in a variety of other settings, had been shown in a laboratory to reduce bioavailable lead in the soil, and we wanted to see if you did it in homes, in yards, would it reduce the lead in that soil.
How are you dealing with the fact that at this point the NAACP and other organizations are getting involved? What kind of communications are you having with them, if any?
Well, yeah, certainly. You know, we've reached out and spoken to the director of the Baltimore City NAACP, and he and I are meeting, and I'm meeting with the head of the state NAACP to discuss the concerns and to talk about the study and to go through exactly what occurred during the study with them. Because I think once they understand the situation, that they will understand that this was a study that did not present risk to people in Baltimore, and that it was done in collaboration with the community.
Well, Dean Clagg, I want to thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Michael Clagg is Dean of the Bloomberg School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins University.